We give him glory today. Look with me in Luke, the second chapter, verses 4 through 19. That's our reading for today. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Let's keep all of this and ponder it in our heart today. May we think deeply about your wonder and your glory and the amazing truth. Lord, we praise you and ask that today you would just fill this place with your spirit so that we might truly hear from you. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for the fact that you've given us joy in the midst of challenges, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of all that's going on all around us. We can lean back and know that we have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy to the world. Joy to the world because Emmanuel has come. Jesus, our Savior, he is good. Thank you, Lord. Now speak to us so that we might know how to live in this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. As you've been thinking about this season, as I've been thinking about the season, there was a question that came to my mind as I was going over the scripture, and our scripture starts in Luke 2 today, Luke 2. I think I want to start at verse 1, if we can. Luke 2 in verse 1, because I wonder if we have the same heart as those shepherds did. Did we learn anything from the way that they responded to finding out about Jesus? And we need to stop and think about that for a moment, because I think there's a secret there to growing in our faith, a secret there to understanding our relationship to God and how we take things. But as we go through the scriptures, maybe we'll be able to uncover some of those things. In verse 1 of chapter 2 of Luke, it says, "And it came to pass in those days," this time that after Jesus was born, or before Jesus, just before Jesus was born, "it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus," this is probably Octavius, "Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed." Everybody was supposed to be enrolled in their the tax system so that they would know where to find you and how much money to take from you. You know, we could play today, but things haven't changed all that much. In fact, it was a little more difficult in those days. You had to go back to your city to register. You know, he had to travel 90 miles with a pregnant woman to get himself registered to give away his money to someone who was occupying his land. Okay, so, "and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed." Everybody went. Everybody just went along with it. "All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." This fulfills scripture that the child would be born there, that the Savior would come out of Bethlehem, that this Bethlehem Ephratah, it's a very special place, but it was really just a little village. It really wasn't that big a deal of a place, except it was the place where David was born and David grew up, out of his city. "And all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee into the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now, you have to really stop and think about this story a little bit. Not only he could have left Mary at home where they were, but, you know, there were some shaky things going on. He might have been concerned about her welfare. Not only did they not have a great prenatal care at that time, the fact is that, well, she was this woman who many thought had gotten pregnant outside of marriage, and her safety was at stake. He might have been worried about her. And so he said, "Honey, I got to go, and I think it best that you go with me. I know it's 90 miles. I know it's a long way. I know you might have this baby at any time, but you got to be right with me. I need you here with me for me to feel that you're okay." So he was protecting her, even though it was a pain for the way they had to do this. Verse 6 says, "And so it was that while they were there," they arrived there, "the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." Wow. Must have been something. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." It is still an amazing thing for me to see babies, how they wrap them up so tight that they can't move and they just look so comfy. It's just, I guess it's like being in the womb for them. It's a warm feeling, you know, and it just, there she had swaddled him up and she had wrapped him up nice and tight and laid him in a manger. He was in a place, a feeding trough. He was in at best a barn, maybe a cave, but it was some place that the animals hung out, because there was nobody, none of his relatives in that city, no place had any accommodations. There was just no place for them to stay. All kinds of people were coming in from all over, and everything was all booked up, and they weren't able to find a place. And so she's having this baby, and she ended up having to put him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room, no accommodation for them. Oh, it's amazing that sometimes we don't seem to make accommodation for the Savior in our midst. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Now, this amazed me, because the Bible does something that we don't always think about. The Bible will let people testify to the truth of the Word of God that other people don't necessarily think too highly of. You know, like us. He lets people like you and I, people that don't have necessarily the best reputation, people that maybe didn't come from the right place. Maybe they didn't come up in the right family. Or if they were in the right family, they were the black sheep of that family. Or maybe something has happened to them along the way, so they're not particularly well thought of. These were shepherds. They were pretty low on the totem pole. And these particular shepherds were the night shift shepherds. These guys, not only were they the shepherds, but they were the guys that had to stay up all night and watch these silly sheep. They had to do that. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. They were the night shift. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The angel of the Lord. And they knew it. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. They were very, very, very afraid, because someone who had been obviously standing in the presence of God was now standing in their presence, and it was obvious. You see, there's something, when you spend a lot of time with God, truly spend time with God, it's obvious to others. They might not always be able to understand what the difference is, but they recognize this is a person that's been with God. This is a person that's different. There's something going on here, and I can sense it. I can feel it. I know it. And the glory of God was all over this angel. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not." You know, we've said this before, and it's still true. If somebody says "fear not," it's because you seem to have reason to be afraid. You know, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. I may look dangerous, and maybe I even am a little dangerous, but you're okay. So you're gonna be okay with me. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy to the world. That isn't that a great song? I think that song's talking about the second coming, not necessarily the first, but it's still a great song. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. It's wonderful. It's great. I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I sure like that, because it harkens back to all the way back to Genesis 12:3. It talks about what Abraham's promise was, and the fact that he, what would come from him, would be a blessing for everyone. Do you know that you are blessed to be a blessing? Do you understand that? Some of us think that we've been blessed to survive. Some of us think we're just blessed so that we could feel good about ourselves. But listen, you have much more purpose than that. You have been blessed to be a blessing. You have been made for God's purpose. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world. God chose you. Before everything was started, God called you. Before anything was, he knew you. And he wants to use you. He wants to bless you, not just to bless you, but so that you might pass the blessing on. Because as you are blessed, as you are changed, as you survive the things that you survive, as you deal with the stuff that brings stress, you can say, I'm blessed because of the great and wonderful God, and the glory of God is all over you, and that glory then is spread to others. And what we will see is that the glory of the Lord is spread throughout all the earth. All the earth. All, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, there should be the presence of God. Because if nobody else has him there, you brought him. But you don't have to worry. Any place that you can go, you can't hide from him. You make my bed in hell, he's there. If I go up to the heights of heaven, he's there. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. But he is asking that you would have a greater awareness of his presence in your life so that you would do all things as unto him, that you would not forget who you are. You would not forget whose you are. You will not forget that you are on a mission. You have been blessed to be a blessing. You're not made for yourself. You're made for the master's use. You're just a tool in the hands of the master. And that's a really, really good thing. Because you can trust him. You can lean back and rest in him because he has a sure hand. And you know that every twist and every turn, every intricate thing that goes on in your life will work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. He wants to use you. But some of us feel like broken tools. Some of us feel like we've been bent out of shape. Some of us feel rusty. Some of us feel that we don't know what we were made for. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by your feelings. Allow him to change you. Allow him to shape you. Allow him to fill you. Allow him to use you. Allow him to be God in your life. And you come to the recognition, the realization that he is in charge. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that you might demonstrate, that you might go day by day being what you are supposed to be so that the light of God is spread through this dark world. Listen, you don't have to worry when you are light. You don't have to fear the darkness. The darkness will flee from you. When you are light, you can pierce the darkness. When you are the light of God, it's an amazing thing what God will do in your life. Oh, you do not have to worry because he is order of them who diligently seek him. We just need to let our light so shine among men that they might see our good works, the works that he's called you to. You need to spend your life seeking after him. Seek his face. Lord, you said, seek your face. Your face, the why seek? Seek his face so that you might know his will. And we need to know that his will is for us to be led by the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, we don't want to follow after the flesh. We don't want to follow after the enemy. We want to follow the Lord. We want to be inhabited by him. We want to be filled by him. We want to be changed by him. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I don't know about you, but I get tired. This time of year makes me tired. There's so many strong emotions dragging me back and forth, up and down and all around. There are, you know, it's so sad when people die this time of year. It's so sad when people are locked into hospitals and they can't even have visitors. It's so sad when there's so much fear. Some of it absolutely genuine, some of it just false evidence appearing real, but it's there and it's real to you. See, sometimes we've got to have the compassion to realize that if someone feels something, it's real to them, and you need to care for them. You need to help them and have compassion on them and build them up. We need to be a blessing. You were blessed to be a blessing. We are standing here, sitting here, upright, breathing for the glory of God. Bit of a rabbit trail there. So, these shepherds, we need to get back to them because in so many ways, we're like them. So starting at verse 10 again, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We all need a Savior. We all need to be delivered. I can't do this thing without God. I can't do this on my own. I can't get it right without him. I tried to be strong and I found that I'm weak. I tried to be wise and I found that I'm foolish. I tried to be above it all and found myself under it all. I have to surrender to the leadership, to the guidance, to the empowerment of another. I have to surrender so that I give away all of my weakness for his strength, that I would have his mind. I give myself to him. He's my Savior. He saves me from all of the things that would drag me into a place that I would not want to be. That Savior is Christ the Lord. Christ my Lord. He is my King. Praise his holy name. Praise you, Jesus. He's Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What'd you do the first time you really realized Jesus was Lord? I mean, you heard it and it clicked. Yep, that's him. I really believe it. And that's how these shepherds were. They heard about it. They heard that there was something that was worth checking out. And then once they heard that there was something worth checking out and they believed they should at least check it out, they went and they saw it. And you know, it's interesting. The baby Jesus didn't have to do anything to prove anything to them. He just had to be. You know, he didn't as a baby sit up in the trough and go, bless you, children. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do anything weird. He didn't have to you know, wave his blankie at them. He didn't have to do anything like that. He just had to be, and when they saw him, they knew. They came to a place where they knew that they knew that they knew. They'd heard about him, and it was pretty big event where they heard about it. It was an emotional thing. It was a real thing to them, but they went and checked it out. And when they checked it out, they said, yes, 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 that is true. Have you had that yes, yes, yes moment? Have you had that moment where you go, oh yeah, that's him. I believe it. Have you had that moment? And did you act in the way that they did? You see, in verse 13 it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They got it. They got it. They were saying, yes, oh, this is real. I know that I know that I know he's real. Did you have that moment? You can have that moment now. Certainly you've come and you've checked it out. You've thought about it and it's real. And something about that time, they knew that they knew that they knew it was real. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When they recognized that it was him, and they believed it, what was their next action? They didn't sit down and have a theological debate about the possibilities. That might be my temptation. They didn't just go back to the field and forget about it. Even though life was busy for them, even though there was stuff going on, even though the world around them didn't think much of them, even though they weren't special, even though they were just lowly shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. they made known abroad all over, everywhere they went, the saying which was told them concerning this child. You've heard that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have believed that it is true. How you doing on the made known him part? How you doing on that part? Have you actually told anybody that you really believe? As this season is approaching us with amazing speed, have you actually shared with anybody in a positive way that Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you told people, there came this time when I recognized that that baby in a manger was truly the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the one that we have been waiting on, the one that has changed my life, the one that has made a difference in my life, and I just got to tell you about it. I just have to let you know that Jesus Christ is born. I just have to let you know that he is real, that he has come. He is God with us. I just have to let you know that he is. I just have to let you know God's touched my life. Has he touched your life? Did he tell anybody that God has touched your life? Or did you just go, that's interesting? Did you just go back to your cubby and, wow. Did you live in such a way after you knew that you knew that you knew, or at least you thought you knew, till some days you wonder if you knew? Till some days you wonder, was there really any change? Or are you committed so much so that that baby in a manger, you want to tell everybody you know, you want to tell them you need him, he can save you. And although he doesn't always look the way that you expect him to look, although he doesn't always come in a way that you might have thought that he would come, the reality is that he is real. He was born of a virgin. He lived this sinless life. I believe that. I believe that he paid the wrath. He paid for the wrath I was due. I believe it. I receive it. And I just need to tell you that you need to receive it too. Or even with friends that know, do you talk about how good he is? Do you encourage their faith? Do you have the word of God working in your life so that you can honestly be one of those people that shares the word of God with each other so that you are built up? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, making melody to the Lord in your heart. Are you one of them who actually believes that word of God? Do you really let him move in you? This is our God, and you need to not to be able to shut up so well about it. Some of us hide it like we've got a secret, but it needs to be shared because the whole world is waiting. The whole world needs an answer. The whole world needs you. If it's politics, you've got your opinion. If it's your sports team, you've got your opinion. You know the stats of some child in soccer. Do you know the marks of the living God? And all they that heard it wondered. People, when they hear it, they're going to think about it. When it comes from you, of all people, when it comes from you, of all people, they're going to wonder about it. They may think you're off your rocker. They may think, that's interesting. And they may receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and with you, partner to change the world. But it's not your job to determine the outcome. It's your job and to go into all the world and tell people how to obey Jesus Christ. Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, for it was told, as it was told to them. Here's how I want to end today, because I just wanted to wonder with me, what did you do when you heard the truth? What did you do? What are you doing now that you've heard the truth? Maybe you get this sense that Jesus is something I should check out. Maybe you've actually gone so far as to gone and recognize that the baby was real and that Jesus Christ really is God. But have you taken that step where you would tell others? Do you know that time where from then on you just had to tell what you knew? For some reason, this is not necessarily your Christmas song, but Psalm 42 really struck me because as you read later in the section of Luke that we are looking in, you hear a prophet come along and talks about a sword in the bones, her heart. Mary's heart is pierced. Her life is changed because of the presence of the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord. And it led me by a long path to Psalm 42, and I just want to review that with you real quick. It says in Psalm 42, "As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." God, I want you like an animal near the waters. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When will I be with you, Lord? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? Oh, I've been a hurting, Lord, in the midst of all of these challenges, and there are people around me that say, yeah, where is this God that you know? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. I'm here with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And I started to talk to myself. You ought to talk to yourself sometime, you know? You know, at least you have good conversation. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me, just because things are hard. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I know that he's going to keep me. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. It's been tough, Lord. You're sovereign. I know that you've got all this stuff in your hand, yet it's really, really, really a mess. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why so I go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? That's how Mary was feeling. But she, like you and I, can say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? I know things look tough. Why art thou disquieted within me? Why am I not calling on the peace that he's given me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, and he's my God. Today, how have you reacted to the baby in a manger? Would you bow your head with me? Oh, Lord, my God, thank you for giving me joy and peace and faith in the midst of all of this stuff. Remind me how you change me. Remind me how you make me different. Remind me, let me think clearly. Let me think wisely. Remind me, oh God, so that I can stand in the shadow of your love, knowing that you have made a difference, a permanent difference, a real difference in my life. And loose my tongue that I might tell everyone, so that there might be joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Oh, praise his name. Today, you might want. Father, I receive the King. I surrender my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.